Face Off Sports Network presents the Fantasy Football Face Off. Get ready for fantasy, DFS, and betting talk to get you in the game. If you want to win, you have to tune in. With Anthony Servino, Matt McKay, and Steve D'Angelo. Welcome to the Fantasy Football Face-Off.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the FF Face-Off. I'm your host, Anthony Servino. Follow me on Twitter at The Real NFL Guru. Follow the show at the FF Face-Off and at FFFaceoff.com. We can be found at all of the top social media and podcast platforms. Back with me to discuss the latest from around the NFL. To help you win more fantasy football championships, Matt McKay at Matt_McKay_ on Twitter. Matt, what's going on?
Anthony, I'm doing fantastic. Happy hump day to you, the viewers, the listeners. Had a great time on the show Monday. I'm sure we're going to have another good episode today. Shout out to Steve and his son's birthday today. Awesome to hear that happening. But yeah, man, got the Vikings hat on. Really ready for NFL football, Anthony. I mean, it is almost exactly 3 months away. We're in OTAs. Training camp is not far off at all. I think end of next month, right? End of July is kind of when things start to heat up. So, yeah, man, I'm ready. Like, we just need to fast forward these 3 months. But at the same time, we can't do that because we're here to help you guys win the championships. And that starts right now.
Zach Linton in the chat saying he's back in the Scott Fishbowl. Won a spot this morning. So congratulations, Zach. Happy to have you in SFB 13. But yeah. Matt, we have a lot to talk about today. As I said, as we creep closer to the NFL season, there's not going to be these like long gaps in between news like we see here and there throughout the offseason. So we have a lot to talk about. Let's get right into it. And let's lead off with where do you want to go? Let's go with don't have to spend a lot of time on it because this is another one like Dalvin Cook. We talk about all offseason. Nothing happens. But DeAndre Hopkins, remember, he was in the trade picture all offseason. And then the Cardinals just gave him his outright release. The latest on DeAndre Hopkins is that he's expected to visit with the Tennessee Titans, Matt. And what this tells me that there are no teams willing to pay up for DeAndre Hopkins. Some of the winning teams that have salary cap space, they might not have a need at wide receiver. And teams like the Bills and the Chiefs, they don't have a lot of money to spend. So to me, DeAndre going to the Titans, like this is a dead-end team. This is a team that was rebuilding. This is a team that it looked like they blew it up, right? After a couple years ago, they get the number one seed in the AFC. They're one and done in the playoffs. You trade away A.J. Brown this offseason. You get rid of a lot of veterans. There were rumors that Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill would have been on the move. So what do they do now? They're flirting with DeAndre Hopkins, albeit they need wide receiver help. I just don't know if it makes a lot of sense for the Titans or DeAndre Hopkins because the Titans need a quarterback. Quarterback of the future is not on the roster. We know Ryan Tannehill's getting up there in age, and they have not been able to get over the hump with him. Malik Willis, they drafted Will Levis. Okay, so I drew a blank there, but who knows what he is. Like, if I'm the Titans, I'm probably, I don't want to say tank, but, like, winning eight games is going to put you in the middle of the draft. And that's where you probably are with guys like Ryan Tannehill and Will Levis starting football games this year. Like, I would want to be into that top 10 range. And DeAndre Hopkins could give them a couple more wins. I don't like it for Hopkins. He needs to go try to win a Super Bowl to cement a Hall of Fame career. And to me, the Titans, I would want a top 10 draft pick next year to get this team on track because they're in an AFC South that is looking like it could be pretty competitive, not this year, the Jags own it, but years moving forward, if the Texans, if they hit on their draft picks and things like that.
Yeah, I think the one thing that stands out here is obviously the Mike Vrabel connection You know, Vrabel was with Houston for a time before getting the head coaching opportunity in Tennessee. And that's where DeAndre started his career, with Deshaun Watson throwing him balls. So it just makes sense that he's paying a visit to his old one of his former coordinators. I'm with you, man. Like, it doesn't move the needle a lot for me. I think DeAndre, he wants a bag, dude. I think he wants to get paid more. It seems like he wants to get paid more than he wants a ring, but maybe not. This is just the first visit. I mean, he's going to make several stops. So you certainly need the help in the wide receiving room. I think we spent a couple minutes last episode when Steve was on talking about the lack of options surrounding Treylon Burks. I mean, it's basically Treylon Burks and Chig Okonkwo, and that's it. You know, a barren wide receiver room outside of Burks. So makes a lot of sense in terms of filling the need for Tennessee, but you make a great point. You guys are going to have a lower pick in the 2024 NFL draft next season if you end up going around 500. Whereas if you get 5, 6, 4 wins, you're sitting a lot better and can kind of mold the future of your franchise a bit better. But it's just tough to like admit outright in the NFL that you're going to tank, because it's just such a, you know, it's literally the league filled with the most parity. I feel like any team can win any week. We see that more and more frequently as the years go on. So, you know, I don't like I said, it's not a sexy move for fantasy. You alluded to Will Levis being drafted in the second round and replacing Tannehill potentially. We'll see how that goes. We've heard some mixed reports already out of OTAs. So, you know, I don't hate it. I don't love it. I'm kind of just neutral on this. Like, it doesn't do a lot for me from a fantasy perspective. I get it from the Titans' perspective. They want to have more than just Nick Westbrook-Ikhine as the wide receiver too. But at the same time, if Hopkins wants that big contract, he's going to have limited options. I'm not so sure that he does want a big contract. I feel like he would be very satisfied going to one of these contending teams. But as you said, most of those contenders don't have enough money to pay DeAndre, and that's where the issue arises. So I don't know, maybe New England.
Even the Titans,
right?
They don't have much room. They're right around 7.9 million in cap space. And the other teams like the Bills and the Chiefs, they're even less. If you go, and then like the Texans have an interest and they do have some money to spend.
What about the Browns?
That's the team. 15.8 million to spend. I like the landing spot. You reunite with DeAndre Hopkins. All of a sudden, this wide receiver room is fully loaded. If you put Hopkins, Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Cedric Tillman, and Njoku, Nick Chubb, this would be an offense looking to compete for a Super Bowl with DeAndre Hopkins. And if I'm DeAndre Hopkins, I think you can get the best of both worlds in Cleveland when it comes to close to what you want money-wise and a chance to compete.
Yeah, I love the Cleveland move for DeAndre. I mean, we saw him and Deshaun just make magic in Houston, and you have better personnel in Cleveland. You have a good head coach, as much as it pains me to say that, and Stefanski. You have the defense. The division's highly competitive, but I mean, it's the NFL. Like I said, it's a parity-driven league week to week. You don't know what you're going to get, even from the worst teams in the league. So, yeah, DeAndre going to Tennessee, that was like when Lamar was linked to Tennessee. Like, that's just – the Titans aren't like an attractive destination for some of these big-name guys.
Let's go. Let's stay with the Titans. Tyjae Spears, the rookie running back, is in the news. And we know the issue with Spears that came out after he was drafted. Some lower body, I think knee issues with recurring knee injuries and whatnot. And his draft stock took a little bit of a hit because of it. And the report, which doesn't make a lot of sense, or maybe it does, is suggesting that offensive coordinator Tim Kelly is saying that they're going to give Spears as much as he can handle. This is Derrick Henry's backfield. We know that other Henry backups in the past, they get hyped, they don't go anywhere. I know Spears might be the most talented they've had behind Henry in a few years, but is this telling you that they're going to maybe scale back Derrick Henry's workload because he is getting up there in age? How do you read through this?
Yeah, the injury certainly complicates things, but I loved Tajay Spears.
Like fantasy Twitter was trying to make Hassan Haskins a thing, for Christ's sake.
Oh, yeah, no. Hassan Haskins was, yeah, Michigan's finest export there. But, yeah, no, Tajay Spears, it sucks that the injury that he has kind of is limiting him currently. But if they're talking about the offensive coordinator, I believe he's the new OC, right? The Titans fired the old OC. They bring in Tim Kelly.
Yeah.
So if he's saying they're going to try to use him, talking about a three-down profile, the guy has great hands. Derrick Henry, he can catch. He definitely proved to us he can catch last year. I think he caught more balls than he usually does. But at the same time, that's not his game. And you alluded to it. What is he, 28, 29, Henry? Like, he's almost to that 30 mark. So, yeah, how much longer can you keep dominating? I mean, he's just an athletic specimen, just one of one. But at some point, we saw it happen to Zeke. You know, he's still a good player, but like the production just scales down. Whereas Tajay Spears, you know, if it wasn't for this injury, I would be pushing all my chips in. Love his talent, and he was on a bad offense. Like, there wasn't like he had great personnel surrounding him in Tulane, but he took them all the way deep into the bowl season due to the record. And you know, to me, definitely a guy I want to keep an eye on. Certainly more intrigued in Dynasty than Redraft, but he's going to be cheap, you know, if you're in the later rounds of your Redraft leagues. So don't mind taking a dart throw on him. I think the talent is there. The injury is certainly alarming. What was it? Was it in a knee or an Achilles?
I'm pretty sure it was multiple knee injuries.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. I don't know. To me, if you're hearing from the OC saying that they want to get him involved as much as he can take, it sounds like they like what he has to offer, and they're just addressing
two ACL tears in the past.
They're just addressing the fact that, yeah, he's a little raw, he's a little tender. That's a tough injury. So,
and one of his knees has arthritis.
That's right. Yeah, we talked about this before. Dynasty formats, I'm a lot more intrigued than redraft, but like I said, you're getting him pretty cheap, right? So like, it doesn't hurt to sprinkle if you're in those late rounds, kind of finishing up your redraft leagues, and you see him still on the board. I don't mind it.
Right around 134 in the FFPC. So yeah, double digit rounds for sure. Yeah. He's gonna step into the immediate pass catching role in this backfield with his skill set. But it's just a matter of, or if they're not going to taper back Derrick Henry's touches, his carries, then really, what is Tajay Spears' ceiling with Derrick Henry in this offense? And so that's a difficult pill to swallow.
Yeah, but maybe they kind of do what has become a popular trend. You try to split some of these backs out wide in the slot, or get them involved in some jet sweep motion. Even with Henry on the field, maybe you could see both of them at the same time. And we just talked about how barren this wide receiving core is with DeAndre Hopkins potentially going there. And assuming he doesn't, which it doesn't seem like a good fit, you're left with Burks and a bunch of guys, Kyle Phillips, Westbrook Akine. Like, so not the craziest thing in the world to think that Spears could kind of morph into like an Antonio Gibson type of role potentially. But yeah, it's tough to get super invested in a player that's behind Derrick Henry, but it could manifest into Henry falling off a cliff at any moment. Like, he's getting very close to that precipice. So,
I mean, he's exceeded it. If we look at when normally running backs fall off, like Derrick Henry is exceeding expectations for his age.
And he just gobbles up touches too. Like, he can just keep on going. So, it's going to end at some point, guys. I mean, I'm confident, like I said, in Dynasty, you know, I'm sure a lot of those drafts have already been completed, the rookie drafts. But if you haven't, definitely a guy like Tajay Spears quite a bit. Let's just see how the arthritis kind of plays out, because that's a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, it ended Todd Gurley's career. So
exactly.
Let's go off of Mr. Tajay Spears. Let's go to Darnell Mooney, somebody that you were very high on last year, and nothing big. We haven't really talked about Darnell Mooney a lot this offseason. So, you know, what better time than now to start? And Darnell Mooney, we know he got banged up a little bit the second half of last season. with an ankle injury, and per the head coach Matt Eberflus, he's right on track to be ready for training camp. Now, my issue with Mooney, if you remember, was that he was like their number one receiver, and Darnell Mooney is not a number one receiver in the NFL. He's, I don't even know if he's a number two, probably closer to a three. But now, Darnell Mooney is going to be in his rightful spot in that number 2-3 role with Chase Claypool, because the Bears went and traded for DJ Moore, who is a legitimate NFL wide receiver. So it does intrigue me a little bit more in Darnell Mooney. He was a fantasy disaster last year. I get you didn't pay up a monster price tag for him, but if you counted on him in a flex spot or in like a wide receiver three spot, he failed you more times than not. So, if there is a time or a year to buy into Darnell Mooney at a very cheap price point, I would say now is that time, because if Justin Fields does get better as a passer, they're all not going to go to Moore. Like, there's going to be some left over for Darnell Mooney, who we already know is a pretty good deep threat.
Oh, that's the best part of his game, is running those nine and go routes. And, yeah, you nailed it. Now that you have DJ Moore in town, he's going to have softer coverage. He's no longer the one. And he's 5'11", 173 soaking wet. So, like, this guy is built for speed, stretching the field, kind of like a Marquez Valdes-Scantling type of player. I think that's a decent comp for Darnell Mooney. But got to remember, fifth-round pick from the Ryan Pace regime in 2020. So this guy there's zero loyalty in the current staff, whether it's, you know, the GM or the coaching staff, to Darnell Mooney. So we'll see how it plays out. Definitely one of my flag plants last year that did not go well was Darnell Mooney. I liked what I saw in 2021. Fields, you know, I think that we're going to see some progression overall from him as a passer this season and less running. But to me, the most exciting thing that the Bears have done, obviously, is bringing DJ Moore. And that's just going to completely change up the coverage that Darnell Mooney gets. And what's his current ADP, Anthony?
139.1 in the FFPC.
Like that. What were we? I think we were going, like you said, like seventh, eighth.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Last year.
There was nobody else. Yeah. It was Darnell Mooney.
Yeah, yeah. That was a tough pill to swallow right there with Darnell always flopping. A couple great catches, but yeah, just not enough last season. So we'll see. I like Getsy. I like the offensive coordinator that the Bears have. He was a hot name in the offseason, potentially to go somewhere, but he's back calling the same plays. And yeah, I like Darnell Mooney quite a bit. Yeah, like you said, he's cheaper this year. I still believe in the talent. And yeah, getting a stud like DJ Moore to lighten the coverage will do quite a bit of good for Darnell.
Listen, first 2 years in Mooney's career, 98 targets in 2020, buck 40 in 2021.
Buck 40. That's last what year, had me going nuts.
Completely regresses to 61. Career low numbers really across the board. I'm a little bit, like I said, I'm more intrigued in Darnell Mooney now that he is not going to be the alpha, because, of course, he's not an alpha wide receiver. And really, in 2021 especially, he played really good football. 81 catches, 1,055 yards, only 4 touchdowns, 13 yards per reception. So at this discounted ADP, or not discounted, to me it's where it should be, then why not take a shot on Mooney? I probably like him more in best ball, because he is going to be that volatile player where he pops 1 week and disappears the next. But still, when you're drafting in that part of the draft, he's not a bad bench guy to have.
No, definitely not a bad bench guy to have at all. And yeah, I think with Darnell Mooney, like, look at that. Okay, yeah, he was throwing 140 balls in 2021 from Andy Dalton, but he only caught, what, 57% of those? And then last year he catches a career high 65%. So, like, you know, the guy can only do so much with what he's given, and the Bears had one of the worst offensive lines in all of football last year. Justin Fields was doing Houdini magic in the pocket to escape and go on these crazy runs. So now you get was it Darnell Wright out of Tennessee?
Yes.
At right tackle. That was their top pick that they used. Pace nailed the free agency. He nailed the draft. So I think those moves will actually definitely have an early impact on Mooney for the better. And the fact that he's recovering from the injury obviously is something that you really like to hear. So, yeah, all systems go for Darnell Mooney, I think, in 2023. And, yeah, it'll be cool to watch this Bears offense.
Let's go to another there's a couple of wide receivers on the list, but there's a certain one. So Michael Thomas is next. And the reason why I want to talk about Michael Thomas next, because he's a very volatile wide receiver in the NFL, because he hasn't played a lot of football in recent years, mostly because of injury. There were a lot of reports that Michael Thomas could have been traded or released. Instead, he still remains with the New Orleans Saints with Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, Juwan Johnson. They brought in a couple other nice tight ends, but they're your core pass catchers on this offense. Michael Thomas, we know this, when he had Drew Brees, when he had Sean Payton, he looked like the next elite receiver in the NFL. Now, my issue with Michael Thomas always was, and I took a little bit of a flack for it, and it looked like it was true. He was a product of volume. In that Drew Brees, Sean Payton offense never quite looked the same. I don't think it's a bad idea to buy back into Michael Thomas right now. This was a guy going in the first two rounds of fantasy drafts. Now Michael Thomas is going 97.9. The offense is expected to improve with Derek Carr. I'm not a Derek Carr guy, but he's an improvement over what they had since Drew Brees retired. And again, Michael Thomas, we go back to when he was at his best. He was a top seven or better wide receiver from 2016 to 2019. And then obviously the past 3 years, he's only played in 10 total games. But in the games that he has played in 2020, gave us 12 PPR points per game. And then last year, only 3 games, but 17 fantasy points per game. So there's still something there. And when you're getting that really cheap ADP, 97-ish, then why not buy back into Michael Thomas? Because there is room for improvement. It's just a matter of, can this guy stay on a football field?
Yeah, man, Michael Thomas, I've been very excited about him and his availability the past couple seasons. I mean, does it...
There hasn't been any availability.
That's what I'm saying. But every offseason we hear, oh, yeah, he's progressing great. Yeah, he's rounding into great shape. He's going to be back. And then, like you said, just boom. Yeah. Something happens, and then he's gone. So I'm gun-shy for sure.
But he's cheaper now.
97, right?
I was never a Michael Thomas guy, but at pick 97, all of a sudden that looks intriguing when you look at his track record.
Yeah, I mean, I saw what he did during the OSU Natty championship run, you know, almost a decade ago now, which is insane. But he, big body dude, like obviously the slant god. That's most of the routes that he ran where Drew Brees found him during his breakout season were the slant routes. But yeah, I mean, he's a strong player. He can high point it. He can win these 50-50 balls. He's a good asset to have in any offense, especially one that has Derek Carr now at the helm, where you have, like you said, Rashid Shaheed, and Olave, of course, who's destined for a massive breakout. Two Ohio State wideouts on the Saints offense. I'm not a Saints fan because of Bounty Gate and Brett Favre and the NFC title game all those years ago. So it pains me to kind of have a rooting interest in the Saints, but I do like their wide receiving room because of the OSU ties. And I mean, they're dominant when they're healthy. Olave, you know, he dealt with some injuries, but he was still solid last year, even though he was dealing with Andy Dalton throwing him passes. So now you get, I know we ripped Derek Carr, but Derek Carr is a massive upgrade over Andy Dalton. It just comes down to Michael Thomas, of course, staying healthy. And like I said, I'm gun shy, dude. I know it's a cheaper value now. It's just tough. Like, what other names are going around Michael Thomas?
Let me pull up the ADP.
Because that might sway me a bit. Because in a vacuum, like, yeah, that sounds great. If he's almost going as the 100th pick, you get him in the 9th round, 8th round, sure.
So I like that. Michael Thomas is – where is he? A lot of Thomases. I'm looking for Michael. Yeah, here we go. See, I'm getting his ADP from Player Profiler at 97, and then if I go to FFPC Best Ball, I'm getting 124. So there's a big ass gap on where Michael Thomas is.
It's pretty cheap. Yeah, I think he was.
Let me see if I go to their regular non-Best Ball league, if that shifts the ADP.
I think he was like fifth, sixth round last year. So that's pretty
solid. It is. Okay, so the Player Profiler FFPC ADP, they don't base it off of Best Ball. They base it off of the Fantasy Championship, the one of the leagues we were in together last year, and it is right around that 97 mark. So guys going around Michael Thomas, Elijah Moore, A-Chain, Kincaid, Njoku, Gabe Davis, Brandon Cooks, Alvin Kamara. I don't hate it, man.
He has
the highest floor out of everybody there. Might not have the highest ceiling, but in PPR, he has a high floor.
And remember when we all faded Davante Adams last year because he had Derek Carr and look how that turned out. So
yeah, but there's also Chris Olave on this team, and there was no like the second best wide receiver on the Raiders next to Davante Adams, like Hunter Renfrow. Like there wasn't much.
That's fair. But at the same time, two very different receivers. I mean, Olave is the complete package, smaller, slender, way faster, can beat man coverage at any part of the field. Thomas is going to give you those gritty yards, you know, intermediate route running kind of is his specialty. So I think they're kind of a yin and yang, and they'll balance out fairly well. I don't think they're the same prototype of player, which will help with that, but it's a fair point to make in terms of Olave really being on the brink of a massive breakout in year two.
So in or out on Michael Thomas at his price?
Oh my God, dude, I don't know. I don't feel comfortable with it. I just do not trust his health. I have a very hard time trusting the health.
What if the health was going to be fine?
If the health is fine, yeah, I have zero problems.
So it's not so much the player, it's the health.
It is not the player, it's the health. And we've been hearing, I mean, it's been like a multi-year injury that he's been rehabbing. Yeah. And it's just tricky, dude.
No, I get it. But, you know, again, you play in a lot of leagues. Somebody like Michael Thomas, like if you need...
Oh, definitely get shares. Yeah.
If you need a stability piece at wide receiver, somebody you can expect to get a lot of targets. Again, not the highest ceiling, but I do think he's going to bring a higher floor in PPR. Fringe 9th, 10th round pick. He's not a bad guy to add to your wide receiver room.
I'm with you there for sure. And that's the thing with fantasy, man. Like injuries happen all the time. And these guys are snake bit with injuries. It's just a little tougher to swallow that pill. But, you know, that's part of the game. So, yeah, I do like the ADP. I like where he's going. I don't like most of the guys around him at that price. So, yeah, I could co-sign Michael Thomas if we can get at least 13 games out of him.
Let's go to an interesting one. Darren Waller, and what the interesting thing about this report is that Giants beat writer Dan Dugan from The Athletic is writing that assuming health, it would be shocking if Darren Waller doesn't lead the team in targets this season. I don't think it's breaking news because I've said this the whole damn time, but like, it's just confirming what we already believe anyway, that Darren Waller is the best pass-catching target on the New York Giants. No, he's not a wide receiver. I'm saying pass-catching target. Big-bodied, reliable when healthy. And years past, you were paying a premium for Darren Waller at the tight end position. That's really longer the case. He could replicate a healthy Darren Waller. Now, we talk about injuries to Michael Thomas. Darren Waller's been kind of bit by the injury bug a little bit. But if we get a healthy Darren Waller, and you look at the other options or lack thereof on this football team, you could make a case that Darren Waller gets the type of target share he had, like, let's say in 2020 or 2019 when he was a top five fantasy tight end, or 2020 at 145 targets, tight end two that year. Why can't he get a buck 45 with the New York Giants if he plays 16 games?
If, and that, that's another, you know, player.
But
like
you say
said,
if his ADP is 59, 2 years ago, or whatever that year was, it was like third round, second round.
Oh, yeah.
Now he's
like
fifth, sixth round. All of a sudden, that's really fucking attractive.
It is, definitely, because you see most of the elite tight ends get, you know, Andrews, Kelsey, they go in the first couple rounds. And then all of a sudden, you're kind of just doing this song and dance with tight end, which is a tough fantasy position to really address. So if you can get a surefire target hound like Darren Waller, that's awesome. And as you said, the Giants receiving room is kind of the same. I love Isaiah Hodgins, but he's a three.
It's terrible.
You look at, yeah, it's all the same type of player. Jalen Hyatt, Jalen Hyatt, Sterling Shepard. I'm blanking on all these
Harris
other
Campbell.
Names.
Campbell.
Yeah, it's the same prototype, like small
Darius
speed
Slayton.
Slot guy that, So to me, like, there's only so much you can do with, you know, Bellinger, solid player. I saw that he's properly jocked now. He got bigger, that he'll be nice. And of course, you always have the dump off option to Saquon if. You know, that's a whole other issue with Saquon, the Giants, and what their future looks like. Obviously, he'll be there this year. But, yeah, you bring in Darren Waller for a reason, Anthony. And, yeah, this guy's awesome. And you alluded to the fact that we were paying second-round redraft ADP on him a couple years ago, and it blew up in everyone's face, including mine. So, yeah, a little bit gun-shy to kind of reach back. But Danny Dimes looked good last year. I mean, he throws a nice ball. Dable's not going to put Waller in bad positions. So, if we're getting him in the fifth round, I don't hate it at all.
I mean, he's a tight end. Like, to me, it actually fits right into Daniel Jones because I don't know who Daniel Jones is as a quarterback yet. He threw 15 touchdowns or something last year. But considering he's a big body tight end, Daniel Jones just needs to put it where Darren Waller has to go. Like, we're not asking Daniel Jones to throw 50-yard fly routes to Darren Waller. Yeah. Just go to the first down marker and fall.
Mm-hmm. No, I think Waller, absolutely. I think a change of scenery really helps some of these guys that kind of, you know, Waller was just getting phased out.
Darren Waller might be a flag plant for me, man.
Ooh,
because of his ADP at 59.2?
What other tight ends are in that range? It can't be anyone that's going to garner that type of floor. Because like I say, you get past Andrews, you get past Kelsey.
Again, the issue
is
injuries.
Right,
but if you go back like 9 games last year, 11 games the year before that, and then the 2 big years, he played, he was healthy the whole time. So maybe compared to the ceiling and target share expectation, injury might be baked into the price. But other tight ends going around Darren Waller, Goddard, Pitts, Engram, Freiermuth. Like I'll take the ceiling of Darren Waller over everybody.
Yeah, because he's their best offensive asset outside of Saquon, for sure, for sure. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. Like I said, I think a lot of people are feeling like I am right now. Like, oh yeah, Darren Waller. In theory, that sounds great, but how do we know we're going to get him on the field? I mean, once again, that's part of fantasy football. You have to be willing to reach for these guys that have a golden opportunity. And like you said, I mean, Dable's going to scheme it up nicely. Danny Dimes doesn't have to, you know, it's a huge target radius when you throw him to Darren Waller. So, yeah, that'll be a nice compliment to the offense. And with how much play action they can run, with Kafka calling those plays and Saquon in the backfield, I feel like there's going to be some busted coverages. Waller slips behind the backer, and then boom.
Like, Waller should be the fifth tight end. You look at Kelsey, Andrews, Hockenson, Kittle. So that's four. And then you have Pitts, Goddard, Waller. Yeah. I would take Waller over Pitts for the obvious reasons.
Definitely.
I would take – now, the issue is Goddard because he doesn't get a lot of targets, but he's super efficient.
Run-centric offense.
So, like,
that's the problem.
Waller, Goddard, I kind of have them in the same place because one gets a lot of targets, the other one doesn't, but they both finish around the same when they're healthy. I love Evan Engram, but now they have Calvin Ridley. And then Freiermuth, I would say...
I love Freiermuth, but yeah.
I would say Waller has maybe a slight upgrade at quarterback and less competition because the Giants don't have Deontay or Pickens.
Yeah.
So I would take Waller as like the fifth best tight end off the board right now.
Yeah, and the fact that his ADP is that low, it's pretty surprising to me.
The injuries.
But at the same time, yeah, the injuries. That it makes sense.
And recency bias.
Yeah, and this is where you had to take advantage of the value and have the goldfish memory and be like, hey, man, injuries are injuries. He's on a new team. He's in a new system. There's no one that's going to command respect from targets like Waller. So like you said, it just comes down to health. I'm more favorable about Darren Waller's health outlook than I am Michael Thomas's. I'll tell you that much right now.
I mean, I know why it's obvious. I mean, Michael Thomas played 10 games in 2 years. Waller's given us 9-11. So yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now Jamie's in the chat saying, he likes Paris Campbell as a deep sleeper. I guess. Like, I get it because he's really cheap.
I love my highest wide receivers.
He's really
man,
cheap.
We'll see.
I'd rather. The only receiver I want on the Giants is Isaiah Hodgins.
Yeah, Hodgins.
I like Hodgins.
He's so good, dude. He just murdered the Vikings last year. I know it's a bad defense, but yeah, he looked like an all-pro.
But I do understand the intrigue of Paris Campbell. But I would rather have Hodgins. But and then Jamie's also saying that the history of tight ends changing teams isn't good for fantasy production. I get it, but like I would need to pull those tight ends and see where they were going. Because Waller's in a situation where he's going to from an offense where he was the guy, then he wasn't because they brought in Adams, and now he's going back to a similar situation where he is the best pass catcher. Like there's nothing else. And the quarterback's profile fits the profile that you're going to throw to the tight end all the time. So I like Darren Waller a lot, and he'd rather have Njoku. I'm an Njoku guy, but all of a sudden that offense really crowded. Like they are now. Last year they were two deep at receiver. Now with Cedric Tillman, they're four deep at wide receiver. Plus
without DeAndre potentially going there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I agree with all those points.
So yeah, I would take. I love Waller this year. I just hope he sucks against Cowboys.
Yeah, he definitely has a brighter outlook for sure. I'll give you that.
Let's see who is next on the docket. Tyreek Hill. We haven't talked about Tyreek Hill a lot, so I like when these guys like this they come in the news ticker and we get to talk about them from a fantasy point of view. So nothing major on Tyreek Hill. But here's what they are saying about Tyreek Hill, is that head coach Mike McDaniel believes Tyreek Hill is night and day ahead of where he was during last year. As we know, last year, Tyreek Hill shifted teams. Now Tyreek has been limited during OTAs with an undisclosed injury, but it's not really concerning. The fact that Tyreek Hill had one of the best seasons of his career with Tua in a new offense, what the hell is next for Tyreek Hill? Like, how high could this guy's ceiling be this year? People in I have a lot of Tyreek Hill in Dynasty because when he was coming out for the Chiefs, people didn't really believe in him. So he was the type of player I like even before Mahomes. I liked Alex Smith. And I'm an Andy Reid guy. I've been a Cowboys fan my whole life. I saw a lot of fucking Andy Reid get the job done with not the best wide receivers and Tyreek Hill flash. So I've had Tyreek Hill on the same dynasty teams for years and I won't trade him. I don't care what they offer. Like, I don't want to trade Tyreek Hill. I remember there was a video of him winning like an off-season race against guys like 10 years younger than he was, and he was blowing them out. Like, the speed's not going anywhere, and speed isn't something that really tapers off. Guys like Darryl Green, still probably one of the fastest guys on the planet.
But he's 60. Jackson.
Remember Darryl Green, longtime cornerback for the Redskins?
I don't remember him, honestly.
Look him up. Really, like, you know, I'm talking about 90s type of player. Like, all-world
right
player.
Now.
Darryl Green. Okay. But, like, still, like, even when he retired, one of the fastest guys in the NFL. So, like, I'm not worried about Tyreek Hill's speed going anywhere. He's already getting hyped up that he looks better in practice than he did at this time last year, shifting teams and shifting offenses. And I think I saw a report that Tyreek Hill, it's almost like he's talking up Tua. I almost feel like Tyreek Hill wants to make Tua look good because of all the heat Tua gets. So, like, I'm buying into this guy a lot.
Well, dude, Tua. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm like, Tyreek Hill's one of my all-in receivers, and that's not a hot take. obviously. But like, if I'm drafting early in the first round, like Tyreek Hill has to be in the conversation.
Yeah, I know in my home league, pretty competitive. He was either like the last pick in the first round last year, or he slipped into the second because people were like, "Oh, dude, he doesn't have Mahomes anymore. He's got Tua Tagovailoa."
He's quarterback proof.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, Tua, the first 5 weeks of the season, was the front runner for the MVP. And then, of course, it all went downhill with the concussions and whatnot. But, you know, this, I love the Dolphins' offense, man. Like, McDaniel needs, I don't think he's getting as much credit as he deserves because of the way the season kind of went in the latter half with the injuries, primarily to their QB1. But, I mean, we've talked about this, Anthony. Skylar Thompson, the third, damn near beat Josh Allen and the Bills on the road in the wild card game. So, like, this offense, it functions very well. Tyreek Hill, like you said, he's never going to lose that speed. He's got a second offseason of continuity going, entering training camp. They're currently in OTAs. So it's an exciting thing to think about, Tyreek Hill continuing to take the lid off of these defenses with his burner ability. And Duke and body guys, too. Like, he's a little muscle hamster. Like, he's not going to go down easy. So you bring in A-Chain, one of your favorite rookie running backs, to spice up that backfield. All of a sudden, you have to respect what's behind Tua more than teams were respecting the mixture of Mostert and Wilson last year. And once that happens, Anthony, of course, Jalen Waddle, one of the best wide receiver twos in the league, would be a one on most, I would say, a third of teams, maybe a quarter. But phenomenal wide receiving core led by Tyreek Hill. I myself definitely did not think he was going to have that hot of an impact right away in McDaniel's system in year one. Turns out he did. And, yeah, hearing this is awesome. Gets me very excited to watch the Dolphins in 2023. And Tyreek Hill, his ADP is sitting, what, right on the fringe of the first round? Or is it, like, pretty high up there right now?
Because right now, Tyreek Hill FFPC ADP is, let's see, where are we? Fourth receiver off the board, right around the sixth pick. Cooper Kupp, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson going over him. I'm taking him over Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, it feels like the Rams have way more question marks than answers, whereas the Dolphins are kind of in the opposite spot. So I don't blame you there necessarily. I think a Kupp has a clear path to more volume because he doesn't have to, you know, there's Waddle, A-Chain can catch passes. Not to say Tyreek Hill isn't going to have another 120, 130 target season. He certainly will, but I understand the argument and what you're saying. I don't think I'm there yet, but I can understand the argument.
He had 170 targets last year, career high.
Oh my God, I wasn't even making 170.
Waddle, for what it's worth, like, he was, and Hill was a tight. Now, going back, Hill's been in the league since 2016. He's been a top seven wide receiver or better in all but two seasons. In one of those seasons, 2019, he was still a wide receiver, won a fantasy points per game at the wide receiver 11. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 straight years tight wide receiver 11 or better, yeah. And then 6 or 5 of those seasons as a tight end, Jesus God, as wide receiver 7 or better. So 2 out of the past 3 years, as the top 3 wide receiver or better, and last year was the wide receiver 3 without Patrick Mahomes. Waddle, of course, like, I don't want to hear anything about Jalen Waddle. Really good receiver. He was the wide receiver 12 in fantasy points per game, but he did it on 116 targets. Now, without Tyreek in 2021, Waddle had 142. So it's clear Tyreek Hill is the target guy in this offense. He dwarfed Jalen Waddle in targets. So I'm just all in on Tyreek Hill. I'm taking him over Cooper Kupp. I think the seal. Now, Kupp might have a higher floor. Obviously, Kupp's going to be productive. We also don't know is Matthew Stafford going to play five games? Yes, we could say the same thing about Tua.
About Tua, but they're in a different spot in their career.
I think McVay can
different spots in their career.
I think McVay schemes his quarterbacks better than McVay does. I mean, I think McDaniel schemes his quarterbacks to succeed better than McVay does.
Well, dude, just wait for the difference that they're going to have when they have A-Chain in the backfield, and you got to actually respect what's happening back there. Like I said, it's going to be a completely new version of this offense that already was thriving. So I totally get it, man. Tyreek Hill, definitely someone I want to acquire as much as possible. It's a very, very expensive price for a reason. So he's a blue chipper, no doubt. And hearing this report from the head coach who calls the offense is pretty exhilarating.
Jamie wants us to grade his trade. Then we're going to end with the last talking point. But Jamie wants us to grade his trade. He traded away Tony Pollard, Devonta Smith, and a second-round pick, which is a 2.04, for Garrett Wilson, the 1.02. So Pollard, Devonta, and the fourth pick in the second round for Garrett Wilson, the second pick in the first round, one quarterback lead. He also has the 101, which is Bijan. And it's a start one running back league. So grade the trade, and then he wants to know who he should pick. Let's see, Wilson in the number two for Pollard, Devonta in the
He got Wilson in the number two, and he gave away Pollard and Smith.
And a second.
I would have liked to keep Pollard and Smith, to be honest with you.
And then with the second, so he's going to draft Bijan, and then with the, he has the second pick, and it's JSN or Gibbs. So it's,
I would go Gibbs.
Yeah, I would go Gibbs.
We did the Gibbs deep dive Monday.
I would go Gibbs. You know what? I would say the trade's even, because I like Pollard, Devonta Smith, and I like early second round picks. Like, once you get past like 2.06, the rookies died to me. Like, they're just this year.
Right.
But since you're getting Bijan, then you could take Gibbs, and then you're also getting Garrett Wilson, who we know we're gonna have Aaron Rodgers with him at least, I believe, at least 2 years. So I think Garrett Wilson
goes nuclear this year.
Then why I upgrade a wide receiver, and then if I go Gibbs, I upgrade running back. Yeah, I get it. It's hard. It's just giving away Pollard, Devonta.
Exactly. Yeah. We've seen them put out work consistently, whereas, you know, you're kind of, you don't have a full look into the crystal ball of how these younger guys are going to pan this year. But that's part of fantasy. So I like the risk. I like that you took the risk. And Garrett Wilson, like I said, is going to go absolutely nuclear in this offense with Rodgers. So
yeah,
be nice.
I mean, I like the trade,
and I like Gibbs.
In your situation, I would probably rather have your players. So yeah, I like the fantasy wise. I think the trade's even, but if I'm
you don't
you,
see a lot of that.
If I'm you, I would rather have Wilson, Bijan, and Gibbs than Pollard, Smith, and the second. But I think the overall trade's even. But I would rather have your players, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Like, the other guy did not get fleeced. Right. No one got fleeced here. Right. And you don't see a lot of that. Usually someone gives up too much or too little. So, good job, man.
Yeah, but now, to comment on, like, yeah, in theory, you upgraded your running back. But in reality, we're also going to get Tony Pollard, we think, as the lone guy in Dallas, unless they bring back Zeke. So Pollard's upside, like, I would say, like, Dallas has, like, a top 5 or 6 O-line. Detroit has a top 2-3 O-line. Then Gibbs has Montgomery. There's, like, none of that in Dallas right now. And I say right now because, yes, they could bring back Zeke. So I think the ceiling overall is probably higher for Tony Pollard this year. But long term, we also don't know what the hell's going on in Dallas, because Tony Pollard has yet to sign a long-term deal. So, yeah, I would still rather have Gibbs, because we know he's going to be in Detroit long term.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the logic for sure. And I tend to agree with you. It just sucks giving up Pollard, man. That's tough. But
does
I get
it suck a month later if Zeke comes back? That's the thing.
Yeah, but Zeke, I mean,
12 touchdowns and back-to-back years, whatever it was.
Seemingly looking more and more likely as each day passes with Zeke unsigned, for sure. I'll give you that.
Let's close out with Deebo Samuel. And Deebo's polarizing. We don't talk about Deebo a lot. We haven't. But the report is Deebo himself said he wants to bounce back, and he called his season last year awful. So the question is, can Deebo bounce back? Because this is now an offense that they brought on CMC midseason, and he became the focal point. Like, he essentially became the new Deebo. And even before CMC, Deebo, it seemed like his touches were tapered back a little bit. And then Ayuk definitely has a skill set to be a top receiver. So what is Deebo Samuel? Is he what he was a couple of years ago when he was the guy? Or is he closer to what he was last year? What he was last year is what he's been in his career. He's a really good weapon who's going to pop. But then he's also going to have games where he disappears.
I mean, dude, that 2021 season he had was insane. I mean, 8 rushing tutties in terms of like what he did. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, to me, like, the guy is a absolute stud physically, you know, an imposing player. But it's tough to say, man, because I don't think we're going to ever see him hit that ceiling that he delivered in 2021, the way that he's being used. I think Ayuk, you know, is coming into his own for sure. CMC's vulturing tons of targets in that Kyle Shanahan offense. We have, you know, it's just predicated on running the football. And then I love Ayuk. I think he's going to do great things. I know he's kind of a popular player on fantasy Twitter right now. People are really gassing him up. So maybe this is a decent spot to get Deebo cheaper than we've been accustomed to getting him in years past. But
what do you think? So it's certainly cheaper than where he's been.
The touchdowns have not been very frequent outside of 2021. Like you said, like 3 in 2019, 1 in 2020, only 2 last year. You know, he got a couple rushing touchdowns, which kind of buoyed his stats a bit. But I'm not so sure, man. I know Steve. I wish he was on right now just because this has like kind of been his guy. He loves him some Deebo Samuel. But to me, I'm more looking at Ayuk and McCaffrey than a Deebo Samuel situation here. But what does the ADP say, Anthony? Like, for Deebo Samuel, I'm very curious.
What do you pick?
Yeah.
I mean, 4th round. I think that might be a little bit rich for my blood. And I think the only way he cashes in or exceeds that ADP is if Christian McCaffrey gets hurt. That's the only way.
Yeah, for sure. And that's certainly a possibility. I mean, let's not pretend that Christian McCaffrey doesn't have injury history.
Around Deebo, Matt. ETN, Amari, Ridley, Hopkins, Ken Walker. Ooh. Like, I would take all those guys over Deebo. Gibbs, Metcalf, give me all.
I would say most of those names make me feel some type of way versus, you know, I think it's just an outlier season that he had in 2021, man. It doesn't mean he's not a good player. I mean, he's a great player. We've seen him.
Unique hybrid skill set.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he can absolutely be a game wrecker, and he's a great football player. He's great for the overall football team, but from a fantasy production standpoint, very inconsistent. He's going to have a couple pop games, a couple dud games. I want a more stable player. I want like an Ayuk. Obviously, Kittle's going to keep vacuuming up like he does. So, yeah, man, I don't know. Like, those names you rattled off are very, very enticing. And I just don't get that, I got to grab Deebo feeling like we had after 2021.
Absolutely agree here, Matt. But, guys, that's going to do it for today's show. We'll be back Friday, same time, 6 p.m. Eastern, as always. I will be dropping a video tomorrow on second year breakout potential running back, so keep a lookout for that. But until then, I'm Anthony Servino. This is Matt McKay. This is the FF Face Off. If you want to win, you have to tune in. We'll see you later. We'll be right back.